So we have Brittany. I don't think I've ever pronounced your last name. Satanovich. That's not what I was going to say. I'm glad I asked. Senior Associate General Counsel at The Ohio State University with primary areas of responsibility in advancement and tax matters. And Thomas Schroeder. Is that right?
Schroeder.
Not going to try anymore. Is the partner in the Tax Exempt Organizations Practice Group at Davis Wright Tremaine LLP in Seattle and practices in Washington, California, and New York. Thank you both.
We are here today to talk with you about joint ventures, which sounds a bit like an outdated topic. So what we want to do today is talk about sort of basic tax exemption and other tax principles, UBIT being a really important one, that sort of were handled by the IRS in the late 1990s and early 2000s in some joint venture guidance, but really continue to be relevant today not only to things that look like a traditional joint venture, but also to a lot of the sort of tech commercialization type transactions that you might see on campus. And so our goal today is to kind of run through some principles that might be familiar to you, and then give some examples about how those apply to the types of transactions we're seeing on campus in 2023. And just for one more minute on our background, Tom and I have both spent time in-house and in firms. We both relatively recently switched from in-house to firm or firm to in-house. And so we've kind of seen both sides of this transaction, both the institutional tensions that can take place when everybody wants to have a really great idea be friction-free, and the tax lawyers are saying maybe that's not the case, and then also really being outside counsel and seeing a greater variety of transactions. So that's the perspective we're hoping to bring today, and I will kick us off by starting to talk about relatedness, and I'm realizing a key error in our ways, which is that neither of us has the...
Oh, you heard it.
All right, I'm now caught up. So the first key principle that we wanted to talk about here today is this idea of relatedness. So the idea of relatedness is really in the transaction that you're looking at, what are your institution's activities actually going to be on a day-to-day practical basis? Even if it's the first question you ask, it might be a hard one to get answered, but at the end of the day, you have to understand what activities are we going to actually be engaged in. And then the question is, do those activities substantially further the institution's charitable purpose? Most often, you're going to be looking at educational or scientific research purposes, also potentially healthcare, providing medical care types of charitable purposes if you're looking at the med center. And the question is going to be sort of, is the activity actually furthering those purposes, or is it more like taking advantage of some staff or resources that you have to just make money in a way that doesn't specifically further those educational or research purposes? And the question of why we care about relatedness comes up in a lot of different contexts. The first one, we're going to talk about some specific joint venture guidance from the IRS in a few minutes. The first reason relatedness matters is it because it drives the question of whether or not your income from the activity is unrelated business taxable income. But it can also drive some questions about, are there restrictions on pools of funding so that you may not be able to use a particular pool of funding for an activity if it's unrelated to your charitable purpose? It can drive some analysis under state law, including potentially whether in an investment context, whether the activity has to be treated as an investment that's subject to your state's MIFA laws versus being a program-related type of investment. And then just as a caveat, and then we'll sort of put this point away for the rest of the presentation. If an unrelated activity used so much of the institution's sort of time, treasure, or talent that it became substantial in relation to the institution's overall activities, then the unrelated activity could actually threaten 501c3 status, if that's the status that your institution has. We're going to assume for the rest of our conversation today that any sort of joint venture or commercialization transaction that we're talking about is going to be insubstantial in nature when compared to the overall size of the institution. So we're going to assume that tax exempt status is not at issue in the relatedness inquiry for the rest of the day.